From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives from the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. Goal. Touchdown. Michigan State wins it in overtime.
Good afternoon, my brothers and sisters. It's May 28th, 2013, and welcome to Current Sports with me, Al Martin. I hope you all are having a beautiful day. We certainly have a lot to talk about on today's show, a lot of action over Memorial Day weekend, including the Red Wings and Blackhawks now in do-or-die mode. The MSU baseball team ends a very disappointing season, and a veteran team proves age ain't nothing but a number, along with so much more in people. Today, we'll talk about injuries in the careers of athletes. Yes, this topic will be the prime focus this week. The eye work can prove to be a point that ends one's career or a point of triumph and awakening. If you don't want to miss this discussion, keep it locked right here. Current Sports starts right now. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I have to give a big thanks to all of you out there who have been tuning into your radios, listening day in and day out to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. As many of you know, you can be a part of the discussion each and every day simply by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, liking Current Sports on Facebook.com/Current Sports, or even by emailing me, almartin@wkar.org. You can tweet, Facebook, email your thoughts or questions. First, I hope that you all had a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. I definitely had a good time with the family and friends. Even hit the golf course a little bit, folks. I'm telling you, my game is looking pretty good right about now. Any challengers, please bring it. But I truly hope you all had a safe holiday and ate a lot. All right, first off, today we begin a series focused on injuries in athletes. Yes, injuries are what have plagued many sporting careers. Now, how many times have we have seen promising athletes fall victim to an injury like a torn ACL, not to mention the constant awareness of concussions in today's sporting world? We are starting to know more and more about the long-term effects of head trauma, and as a result, sports are beginning to act with a sense of urgency and caution. But on today's Current Sports, we invite a guest whose physical limitations on the football field really went beyond your typical injury. In fact, this obstacle became a battle for his life. Arthur Ray Jr. was recruited by the Michigan State football program in 2007. It was then that just months after he got accepted and accepted the MSU scholarship, he started to notice a lump on his shin. It turned out to be osteosarcoma, a form of bone cancer. So after 4 years and 9 surgeries, the 6'2", 297-pound lineman would beat that cancer and make his comeback to the game he loves. He was named the winner of the 2011 Discovery Orange Bowl / Football Writers Association of America Courage Award and a recipient of MSU's Biggie Munn Award for the most inspirational player. Arthur is now at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado, where he'll pursue a second bachelor's degree while playing at least one season of football for the Division II Skyhawks of the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. Arthur, welcome to the show, brother.
Yeah, man. Happy to be here. No problem.
Thanks a lot, man. So first off, let's go back in time for a minute. Back when you first discovered that you had cancer, I mean, go through that moment when you were first diagnosed and talk about the story. I mean, you had just walking across the stage and to get that news. I mean, talk about that, Arthur.
Just so many emotions, just devastation. I think that's the best way to sum it all up. Just all the hard work and stuff I put in high school to earn all those scholarship offers and earn all the awards that I had at that point in time. Just, I didn't know what was going to happen after that. It was just total shock.
Gotcha. Now, Arthur, for those who don't know, now osteosarcoma is a form of cancer. Talk about specifically what type of cancer that is.
It's a form of bone cancer. It's normally around around the knee or ankle region towards more so of your joints. But mine was actually directly in the middle of my shin, and that played a vital role in my recovery and ultimately the reason why I can still play now.
Now, how did you discover that you had this? Talk about that moment. I know you said you saw a lump on your shin, right?
I played the whole season, pretty much. It was in the playoffs in my high school career. I noticed the lump, and then I went to Florida down to the All-American game, and I saw it getting bigger, but it didn't hurt, so it didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't think anything of it. Just thought it was a normal football injury. Then I get back, and everything's done, and you know, I sign my national letter of intent. And then, you know, a few weeks later, that's when I finally went to the doctor, and that's the new one I got the news.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Arthur Ray Jr., former MSU lineman, a cancer survivor, now plays out in Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado, truly an inspirational guy. Arthur, talk about how much hearing that you were diagnosed with osteosarcoma, how much did this weigh on you mentally? What was your, how were you dealing with this at first? I mean, I know it was devastating, but what was going through your thoughts when you first was diagnosed with this?
Man, it was, what now? What am I going to do? Like, as far as not even necessarily my athletic careers, as far as my future as a human being, like how was that going to be? I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I remember days in the hospital, I used to just be so upset and just, man, it got real dark for me at that time. Like, it was just real. Yeah, I had to find out who I was as a person.
Now, Arthur, with sports and injuries, it's so important to have the right mindset. What resources helped you out that Michigan State provided and you know, other resources as far as your family went? I mean, who was really your support system during that time?
Oh, it was definitely my family. That was number one support system, and then just the fact that Michigan State, you know, kept me on scholarship, and you know, they put me and my family at ease as far as that whole situation. It was all around good deal. But man, I just think it was just time, and me understanding the situation, and not trying to, you know, rush anything. Just take it one day at a time, because it was rough.
Now, looking at this whole thing, I mean, how supportive was Coach D'Antonio? Because they kept you on scholarship. I mean, talk about how much that meant to you, man.
Well, it meant a lot. It meant a whole lot, you know, just hearing that, especially after I had got the news, you know, and I had heard stories about other guys, you know, losing scholarships, or other rumors about, you know, guy tears ACL, he loses scholarships. So them keeping me on scholarship was big, big time for me and my family, because it ended up working out all for the best.
Definitely, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Arthur Ray Jr., former MSU football player, cancer survivor, now playing football out in Durango, Colorado for Lewis College. Now, for you, Arthur, I was doing some reading, and there were many who told you to quit and not even focus on a return to football, just focus on just getting better and beating this cancer.
Right.
How did you not let that become discouraging when football is concerned, and how do you use it as motivation?
Surrounded by so much negativity, you gotta, like, I'm gonna tell you, it did nothing but make me upset, and it upset me to the point where it just lit a fire in me. So now, you know, when I work out, when I train, even now still, you know, I still hear the people in my ear, like, you know, you could quit, you should quit, and you should do this, and you don't have anything else to prove. You know, people never really understood I wasn't doing this for anybody else. I wasn't doing this for any, you know, badge of honor, or, you know, or to, you know, a sort of something that I wanted to show people up with. You know, I was doing this for pure love and passion for this game, and for another thing, to prove to myself that it could be done. That, you know, I put my mind to something that I can accomplish it. You know, that's what one thing I just wanted to show people.
Now, where was this criticism coming from specifically?
This criticism was coming from all over. I mean, it was so close yet so far away. You know, sometimes, even if the people who are around you and the people who are closest to you and who is in your ear telling you that they believe in you and things of this nature, they really didn't believe in you, especially when the times come. Because I feel like, you know, the healthier I got, and, you know, like once I finally dropped the crutches and once I finally started running and was able to lift, and then once I finally got back on the field, you know, the people who, you know, sort of was in my corner, you know, they sort of, their real feelings started coming out. It sort of turned into, oh, well, you don't, necessarily have to do this. I didn't. Uh-huh. I don't pay people any mind. Like I use all that negative energy and I turn it into a positive for me.
Right. Now, when you look at this, 9 surgeries, man, you had 9 surgeries on that leg through the course of 9 years. What were those procedures consist of? Was it just removing the tumor that was down there? I mean, what exactly, as far as your leg is concerned, is there a rod going through it? I mean, just talk a little about that, the specifics of the injury.
Yeah, I got a metal rod and a plate in my leg right now, and my leg's fully healed, been fully healed for the past, 3 years now. So I'm depending on I had so many surgeries because my first surgery was just to remove the cancer. Mm-hmm. And then, got some patch-up work and all of that. So I was in the hospital for a little bit. Then I enrolled at MSU in the spring of 08, and then I developed an infection, and I had to get sent home. And that was really a big part of that was really my big first setback of the injury besides the cancer itself. Mm-hmm. After that big first setback of that infection, I was home for another year. I had to withdraw from school, and then it just started a spiral. All the other surgeries, they came. Doctors took me off crutches too early. And, mm-hmm. I was so big. And then walking on my leg,
right.
It was a lot. I had to, take it slow. That's why I ended up being on crutches for 2 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Arthur Ray Jr., former MSU football lineman, a cancer survivor. He beat osteosarcoma and is now playing football at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado. Now, Arthur, I want to ask you also, when you look at osteosarcoma, how prevalent is this in society? Is this a thing that a lot of athletes go through? Is it a rare form of cancer?
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Yes, I haven't really heard about it in a lot of athletes, besides the guy at Boston College, Mark Herzlick, and he had Ewing sarcoma. It's just another form of bone cancer. It was on his femur. But, man, it's a rare bone cancer, but it's real prevalent in adolescents and children. Okay. 'Cause I got it when I was 17, and it pretty much is not hereditary. It doesn't run in my family. It was something.
Arthur, I'm not sure if we still have Arthur. We still have him?
Yep.
Okay, he's still here. Now, Arthur, I gotta ask you now. In 2011. Joe Foreman, an all-Big Ten player at Michigan State, for the Michigan State football team, started 22 straight games for MSU.
Right.
Now, he decided to give up his starting spot and let you play against Youngstown State. Talk about that moment. Did you have any idea that week that you were going to play that day?
No, I had no idea. I approached 2011 with, I'm going to learn. I wanted to start from the ground up. I started on scout team. I just wanted to get my feet wet, see how college football looked in person, instead of watching it. And, man, I didn't know anything. So that morning we went to a team dinner.
Wow. How close are you and Joe?
Me and Joe, real close, real good guy. Me and him, we met way back in 07 when we took a visit. And, man, we hit it off since then. We were if I had came on time, we were going to be roommates and all things like that. I was just at his wedding this past last year, so I'm good.
Nice. Now, during that game, when you put on that helmet and laced up those cleats, I mean, how good did that moment feel for you, man?
Man, it felt great. It felt like shutting people up, and you didn't even have to say anything. Like I didn't have to say a word. A lot of people, like I said, a lot of people didn't think I'd get to that point. So after I put it on, and everybody knew it was nothing else to be said. That's why. I didn't hear anything else after that.
Arthur Ray Jr., recruited by the Michigan State football program, a cancer survivor, beat osteosarcoma, now playing football at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado. Now, Arthur, me and you have had countless conversations about this, and you have a passion and love for motivational speaking. Where did that love come from?
Man, it started in eighth grade when my teacher, she made me speak at my eighth grade graduation. She literally told me that week, and I was just like any other kid, just nervous, and then just being up there and in front of the big crowd, everybody, friends and family, it didn't faze me, So I knew then that I was like, man, this is something that I probably can do. And then as I went through my trials and tribulations, and as I came to Michigan State, you know, I met so many people, and did that. It actually started with my my first public speech up there, which was at the Relay for Life back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it just, I guess I start liking it a lot. It's just really, you know, love encouraging people and letting them know, because, you know, a lot of people dealing with different struggles and battles.
So back in eighth grade is when this thing started, man. You're pretty young. What was the message at eighth grade, man?
Man, I guess I talked about, you know, just going through my time there, and I welcomed everybody to the graduation, and it's crazy. Thinking back on it now, it's like, man, I did do that in eighth grade. I didn't even understand the level of it then.
Gotcha. Now, for people who want to go into, because I talk to a lot of people in this industry, I mean, who want to start off, who are young in elementary school and want to be public speakers and, you know, about Toastmasters. I mean, right. What are some tips to give those individuals out there listening?
Man, just relax. You know, a lot of people try to, you know, when they get in front of different crowds or different audiences, you know, they try to pretend, or they try to, you know, be something that they're not. Because I stand up there literally and I'm that calm, because I know exactly what I'm going to say, know exactly what's going on. And as far as the message, is just, man, just be yourself and everything will come out, and just practice if you need to. You know, I'm one of those guys, I don't really rehearse or go over anything. You know, I stand
really?
Up there, everything comes from the heart, man. Like,
wow.
it's something natural. That's why I feel like it was a talent I was blessed with. You know, I'm just grateful for it.
So no preparation, no notes, no writing anything out. You just go up there and speak from the heart, huh?
Man, maybe a few notes, but then they're not even that long. But yeah, after I get going, I pretty much, it just comes to me. It's just, you know, like I said, it's just something that just naturally comes to me during all my speeches. And I've given many at MSU. Like, man, it was just literally just something that just came to me in that moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Arthur Ray Jr., a cancer survivor, former MSU football player, now playing football in Durango, Colorado for Fort Lewis College. Now, Arthur, I also want to ask you, what are some places you've talked to so far other than MSU?
Oh, I recently, just this past week ago, I spoke at a men's breakfast at a local church on the west side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And that went well. It was involved younger kids from ages 12 to 18, and you know, it was just about encouraging them. You know, I shared with them my battle, and me, I'm not that much older than them. I understand the things they're going through and what they're thinking about, how they want their future to go right now. So, you know, I just wanted to encourage them to keep going and encourage them that they're going to face a lot of adversity and battles in life, and you got to keep pushing. It's a decision. It's a decision to win. It's a decision, and it's a decision to allow yourself to be defeated. You know, that's really pretty much the message that I wanted to get across to them.
Definitely. Now, Arthur, you are from Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep, Southsider.
South side of Chicago. Now, something I didn't recently know is that the murder rate in Chicago is through the roof right now. I mean, touch on that and talk about what the mindset of the youth in Chicago, and what's the problem right now?
Man, the murder rate is huge, and it's crazy. It's like
I believe it's number one in the nation right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and then it's like the younger kids are just engulfed in this culture of, you know, sort of I guess an entitlement. You know, I had a discussion with somebody else about that. You know, just like people want success, and they want all the glitz and the glamour. They don't want to work hard, and you know, it's just a lot of it depends on your situation as well. You know, Chicago's a rough place, and it can be, especially different parts and sides of it. So it depends on your situation, your environment, you know, who you have to look up to, a lot of things, and you know what the resources you have available for you. You know, a lot of schools are shutting down, and actually my old grammar school is shutting down. You know, I just went up there to see my old principal and things like that. You know, it's just it's crazy right now up here.
Man, Arthur Ray Jr., born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, former MSU football player who beat cancer, ladies and gentlemen, and now is playing football at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado. Now, focusing back on the injury aspect of things, Arthur, you've been around the game, and I'm sure, you know, you're a guy who beat cancer, for goodness sake, but you've seen other injuries in the sport of football and beyond. For athletes out there who go through injuries, what's the most important aspect of recovery once they go through something serious?
Mental makeup. And I say mental makeup is the number one important thing. You can have all the physical tools, and the doctor can clear you, and you can walk, and you can put your foot down, and everything can feel good. But you have to mentally take time for yourself, mm-hmm. and mentally set a time clock for yourself, for you knowing, you know, when you're gonna be ready. Because at the end of the day, it's gonna be you stepping back out there on that field, you know, regardless of who's in your ear and things of that nature. I feel like one big thing that helped me is I set small goals to a bigger goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, set smaller goals to the larger goal. The larger goal, obviously, was to get back on the field and to play for Michigan State,
right.
which I accomplished. But the smaller goals I go into, I was in the hospital, and the first goal was, okay, let's get off these crutches. You know, then I had first setback, now I'm back on. Second setback, now I'm back on. You know, mm-hmm. It was frustrating, but the goal was still, okay, let's get off crutches. And I finally dropped the crutches, and I got a chance to walk for a year. I was like, okay, let's walk. You know, let's see how the leg feels, see if everything holds up and everything. Then, you know, after a few months, maybe 5-6 months of just walking, you know, I started jogging a little bit. You know, I just set small goals. You got to crawl before you can walk. You got to walk before you can run.
Right.
Once I was running full speed, next thing I know, that helmet and shoulder pads was in my hand, and everything was coming true.
So it's so important to set those small goals before you get the bigger one, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Great message, man. Now, I got to tell you, we just go back to your love for football now. Your goal, one of the greater goals, was to get back on that field and play for Michigan State. Now, you are in Colorado. What made you transfer to Lewis College and continue to pursue football?
Opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity to still accomplish my goals, still, you know, live my dream. And, like, playing football is definitely something that I see myself doing and I want to do, and, you know, I feel like I can. You know, I feel like that year in 2011, going through that full entire year, mm-hmm. no injuries, no pain, it did nothing but made me that more aggressive and made me attack my preparation that more much harder. So I feel, man, Fort Lewis College is an opportunity. It's all the way in Colorado, in the middle of nowhere. I'm totally out of my element. You know, I'm a city boy to the core, and being in the middle of these mountains and the altitude is crazy. But you know, at the core of it, I'm back on the football field. You know, I laced my cleats up this spring and I put my helmet on, and I'm good. I'm running full speed, and I haven't been this excited about a football season since 2006, and that was my senior year in high school.
Yeah,
and like I'm so ready to get back up there and show people what I can do and show myself what I can do. I feel like people may think this is crazy. I feel like I can be a better player than I was even then.
Right.
I'm older now. I'm more mature. I'm a lot stronger, far as physically wise, and my speed is coming, and it's getting there every day. I still have my quickness. I still can jump rope. It's crazy. You know, the things I can do now, especially with my footwork, you know, I feel like that's when I'm on the field and I just look up like, man, this isn't me. Those are talents that I was blessed with because they just mm-hmm. came back.
Right.
Yeah, they just came back. You know, that's one thing that I feared. You know, when I was in the hospital and my leg was hurt, would I be as quick? Would I be as fast? Could I be able to move how I used to? And, man, I work out 3 times a day on the field now, so I'm fine.
Wow, man. I totally wish you the best, man. It's truly an inspiration. And I got to ask you, like, you kind of stole my thunder, man, because I was about to ask you about that. You go from being a city boy in Chicago to now in Colorado where there's nothing. How are you adjusting socially, man?
Man, it's a different experience, you know. I think Michigan State geared me for it, though, all the diversity at Michigan State, you know, really. And I really enjoyed campus and everything. Colorado, I think it's just the space. You know, you walk outside, and I'm used to seeing big city, you know, houses
right.
everywhere. Now I walk outside, it looks like a postcard. I see mountains. And,
right.
Man, and deer are on campus. They're just walking,
oh, man, on
walking
campus?
To class with me. So it's just...
Nice, man.
Experience.
Right, right. Definitely. All right, Arthur. So a last message you want to get out there to individuals who are really struggling and going through, whether they're battling cancer or just an injury, man, what would you like to say to those people listening?
Keep pushing. Keep pushing. It's not over. It's not over till you say it's over. Like I said, you know, you can accomplish anything you want to regardless of what people say. And, man, just take my mindset towards them. People down talk you or people say things you don't necessarily like, just use that. Use that to fuel you. Just use that to shut them up, because I feel like I've shut a lot of people up, and I'm going to continue that. And I'm going to continue until I reach my goals and accomplish everything I wanted to accomplish.
There you have it, Arthur Ray Jr., such an inspirational guy, former MSU football player who battled cancer and beat it, now playing football in Colorado for Lewis College. Always a pleasure, Arthur, and thanks so much for being a part of the show.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll be in touch, man. Take care.
Yep, definitely.
Well, when we return to Current Sports, we will dive into our Current Sports section of the show. I want to let you know that we'll be taking your calls at 140. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of the topics today. Want to hear your thoughts? Stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
This is John Donvan. When news breaks, you have your own questions that go beyond who, what, where, and when. Talk of the Nation connects you to the people who make the news and gives you an opportunity to get answers to your questions. Join us for Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
Seven days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all the sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. We just finished up talking to Arthur Ray Jr., an inspirational guy, former MSU football player who battled cancer and beat it, now playing football in Colorado for Lewis College. Always a pleasure to talk to him, and we want to hear your thoughts on his interview and any of the thoughts, whatever's on your mind, we want to talk about it. 140, folks, 517-355-9527. All right, let's dig into our topics. The Red Wings. Yes, the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Red Wings last night 4-3 to push the series to a deciding Game 7. That's right, the Blackhawks scored 3 goals in the first half of the third period to top the Wings. The Blackhawks have now come back to make this thing a nail-biter for the Wings after the Wings were trailing the series. Well, the Wings were actually in front of the series 3-1, guys. And the Blackhawks are now doing their thing. So, deciding Game 7, always exciting to see a Game 7 in hockey. Detroit carried a 2-1 lead in the third, and then things started to collapse. One of the biggest controversial moments of that game came with Michael Frolik's backhander on a penalty shot at the 9:43 mark to put the Blackhawks ahead 4-2. Now, Frolik became the first player in league history to score 2 goals on penalty shots in the playoffs. He also did it 2 years ago against Vancouver. But Carlo, he got called for slashing on Frolik. He charged alone to the net, and a lot of people looking at that call, and, you know, it really didn't. It could have went either way. I don't think it should have been called, but it was called for slashing. He was in back of Frolik, and his stick kind of went up and hit him on the thigh. They said he hit him on the hand. It depends on what you're looking at. I didn't think it was a slashing call, but that penalty really demoralizer for the Red Wings in that game. And Jonathan Toews, awful in the first 4 games. He enabled the first goal and had 2 assists yesterday. So Jonathan Toews with a great game yesterday. And there was a point when I was watching that game, and Toews was, you know, on the bench and really just talking to his guys, being a leader out there, something that was pretty inspirational. And the Blackhawks, to me, guys, just seem very cool, calm, and collected throughout this weekend. Looking at those two games to tie things, I mean, they were just as cool as the other side of the pillow, really focused. And, you know, yesterday's game, the Wings just seemed to just be going through the motions at the beginning of the game and especially at the beginning of that third period. So they really just looked flat. Now, the Wings had, and to look at things, the Wings had 12 giveaways compared to Chicago's 3. Chicago's Corey Crawford made 35 saves and Jimmy Howard stopped 24 shots. But the Wings got to step it up, man. You got to play every game like it's your last. And they had two opportunities to close this thing out. And the Wings don't get it done. So now, Game 7, Wednesday night in Chicago. This is going to be a tough one, guys. Chicago is at home. They have the momentum. They've won two straight now. You know, we'll see what happens. Now, like I said, the Blackhawks look more poised. And the Wings, they got to come out with more energy. So we'll see what happens, ladies and gents. Again, Game 7, Wednesday night in Chicago. Looking forward to that one. So the Tigers now. Justin Verlander on the mound yesterday against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, everyone in particular interested because Verlander, his last three outings have been terrible. But on Monday, he returned to form a bit, striking out 13 in 7 innings to lead the Tigers to that 6-5 victory. Here he is after that game.
You know, I'm not trying to go out there and strike out everybody. I'm just trying to get outs. I think I probably could have more big strikeout games, but I don't pitch the strikeout, especially early in the game. Tonight was one of those nights. Like I said, I was better. Fastball control was better, but not quite where I want it. But the off-speed stuff was really good.
Now, Verlander hadn't pitched more than 5 innings in any of his previous 3 starts, struggling at times with his location. But he was sharp. He looked good for the most part. He allowed 3 runs, 7 hits, and 2 walks. So hopefully this would be a wake-up call for JV and he can get back to his usual greatness that we're used to seeing on the mound. So Miguel Cabrera now, interesting story. Miguel Cabrera struck out 3 times and had his hitting streak snapped at 12 games. Miggy's still slugging it out, though. I mean, you just look at the Tigers right now. They have 6 players batting above .300 right now. That's a hot team, ladies and gents, and they are certainly getting the job done. But last night, as far as batting goes, Johnny Peralta stole the show. He had 4 hits, and the Tigers hit on for their 6th win in 7 games. The Tigers have Pittsburgh tonight at home, 7 p.m., and they now lead the Cleveland Indians by 2.5 games in the AL Central. And if you just look at the Indians right now, since they played the Tigers, I mean, it's just been a total collapse for them. They have lost 6 of their last 7 games. So Detroit is very fortunate right now. 2.5 game lead. They're sitting mighty fine right now above that AL Central. So again, Pittsburgh home tonight at 7 p.m. And, certainly good to see Justin Verlander looking somewhat back to form. We'll see as the season goes on, but certainly a nice outing last night for him. The Diamond Classic, guys, on Friday. The Diamond Classic resumed play over at Cooley Law School Stadium. Portland beat DeWitt 5-3 in Game 1. Portland will now await the winner of Grand Ledge and Okemos, who will play on June 3rd. I talked to John Davids after that game, and he's feeling pretty confident, guys.
You know, you always get nervous. There's never a situation at the end of the game. That last out takes forever, you know. And that's just the way it always is. It makes you a little bit older in the dugout. I know that. But, you know, hey, kids are confident. They did what they had to do. And Austin Livingston came out and did a heck of a job closing that thing out for us.
I mean, how do you keep your team focused with the rain out? I mean, what was the message during that time when you guys did get rain out? How do you keep their mind in the game?
This way to play. I mean, they want to come back and play as fast as they can.
Didn't take much.
We went to work and practice, and we did what we do, and they want to come back and play as soon as they could. And in some instances, you get a rain out, and it ends up an opportunity to play, in this arena. And great for the kids. What an opportunity. They'll never forget it.
Yeah, and if you remember, a few days before this Portland and DeWitt game, earlier that week, they were rained out and had to cancel the game after the first inning. And they picked up play, and again, Portland beats DeWitt 5-3. Now, Portland will now await the winner of Grand Ledge and Okemos, who will play on June 3rd. And a solid play on the mound for Portland's Tanner Allison. He did a really, really nice job. So in Game 2, Bath top Hope 9-1, the final at Cooley Law School Stadium. This is Bath's first ever win in the 52-year existence at the Diamond Classic. Bath stud Ryan Orr. Ryan Orr was just good, striking out 11 batters. The young man now has an ERA of, get this, 0.00. That's just sick. Ryan Orr, you are the man. And this one started off, I mean, if you look at this, it started off as a pitcher's duel between Ryan Orr, and you look at Holt, who had MSU commit Ryan Zabrowski. But Zabrowski, he will begin to unfold as the game progressed. He looked good at the beginning, but as the game progressed, I mean, just a lot of errors, a lot of bath. I mean, they just had his number that night. So Ryan Orr, though, unbelievable, striking out 11 batters. Holt wins 9-1. They move on. So let's move on to now some MSU basketball news. Derrick Nix, that's right, former Michigan State center Derrick Nix, is scheduled to a 10-day workout in Minneapolis for the Timberwolves. For players, this is for players primarily projected to be in the late first round or second round selection in next month's NBA draft. Now, I mean, Derrick Nix has certainly come a long way. I mean, the man just graduated college. I mean, coming from a guy who was really immature when he first came to MSU, really setting himself back to a guy who just came, really blossomed and turned out to be a pretty solid player for MSU. So here's a bite on his progression, guys.
Love this part, I think. You know, our people here in the Smith Center have done, Jimmy and his group have done such a great job, and Derek's going to be a success story. It's why you don't give up on kids. He's been awesome.
It's kind of crazy to remember the first day pulling up at Schneider Phillips. Now I'm down to 3 days left here in East Lansing, so it's kind of tough for me.
And Derek is a great example of really taking the resources that were offered to him and maximizing those. Do you do it perfect all the time? No, just like everyone doesn't do it perfect. But I think one of the greatest success stories that we've had in a long, long time is Derrick Nix's growth and maturity, his time management skills, his ability to represent our institution, himself, his family, and our program. This graduation means more than just getting a degree. It means all those things.
And now he will be trying his luck in the NBA. Derrick Nix, a guy who really, as I said earlier, he really progressed as an individual, not just basketball player, but as an individual. I'm going from this immature kid who was really in trouble when he first came to MSU to really progressing and becoming a leader on MSU's basketball team and had a solid, very solid senior year. So all the luck to him in the in that workout with the Timberwolves. Now, representatives from NBA teams can evaluate Nix at the Target Center. Now, of course, that's home of the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are hosting the event. Other players to work out in Nix's group are Jared Berrigan from Wisconsin, Brandon Paul of Illinois, Solomon here from Arizona, Michael Snader of Florida State, and Will Clyburn of Iowa State. So we'll see how Nix fares. So but that's good to see him as, and, you know, just working out and possibly getting a shot at the NBA. But Nix has said he would look to play in Europe if no teams draft him in the NBA on June 27th. So we'll see how that turns out. Now, the MSU baseball team, some really sour news for them. The Michigan State baseball team will not be participating in the NCAA tournament. They failed to receive 30 at-large bids to the tourney yesterday. They end the season at 33-17 overall. Really struggled for them. A lot of injuries for that team. But if you remember, the Spartans failed to make the Big Ten tournament last week as they were in a battle for that sixth spot with Michigan and Illinois. And they were hoping to make the tourney for the second straight season, the NCAA tournament for the second straight season. That didn't happen. But out of the Big Ten, only two made it. Illinois and Indiana were the only two Big Ten schools to make the tournament. Indiana is coming off. They're the team who won the Big Ten tournament last week. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the MSU baseball program. Really a disappointing season, but it's really a young program. Like I said, well, a lot of injuries for them. So we'll see how they bounce back from that. But really disappointing not to see those guys in the NCAA tournament. All right, NBA playoffs. San Antonio Spurs. That's right, the old men, they just keep on keeping on. The San Antonio Spurs advanced to the Western Conference Finals last night, sweeping, I did not predict that, sweeping the Memphis Grizzlies 93-86. I mean, and you look at the Spurs, they are just so disciplined, and you saw it last night. Anything Greg Popovich, their coach, tells them, I mean, they go out there and try to execute it to perfection. Very disciplined team. Spurs guard Tony Parker, he was just a man last night. 37 points. His best game this postseason, and this is the Spurs' fifth Western Conference title, and they were just hot all night, guys. They shot 51% from the floor. I mean, they couldn't miss. So they now await for either Miami or Indiana. The Spurs have now swept two of their three opponents already this postseason, and this is the first sweep in a conference final game since, get this, since the Nets did it to Detroit. That's right, the Pistons, back in 2003. Man, the Spurs have also won six straight these playoffs, handing two straight losses to a team that had been undefeated on their own court in their best postseason in franchise history, the Memphis Grizzlies. All right, and to that, as I just mentioned, Miami and Indiana in the Eastern Conference Finals. Miami Heat have a 2-1 series lead over the Indiana Pacers after beating Indiana 114-96 on Sunday night. They play tonight at 8:30. If you look at that game on Sunday night where Miami took that lead, that 2-1 series lead, a guy who really, really just came out of nowhere and really had a great outing was Udonis Haslem, and Hibbert was on Haslem. Hibbert really frustrated, but he knows he's got to pick things up against that man.
Me personally, you know, he wasn't making those shots the prior two games. So, you know, I was rotating off him and helping out Paul or rotating to Bosch and stuff like that. But now he's been hitting. I have to play both. I have to stop the roll guy and get out and contest, you know, because it's going to be a hard job. But if we want to win this series, I have to do both. I have to do everything and make him more uncomfortable for those guys.
So we'll see if Udonis Haslem can recapture some of that magic tonight. Again, tonight, 8:30, Miami Heat, Indiana Pacers. Miami have a 2-1 series lead. So moving on now, Robbie Rogers, he broke new ground on Sunday night as the first openly gay man to participate in a prominent North American Pro League. That's right, Robbie Rogers, he plays for the LA Galaxy in soccer. So they coasted to a 4-0 win over Seattle Sunday night. Really breaking new ground, you know. And now this is something interesting. Now, Adrian Peterson, running back for the Minnesota Vikings, he out of nowhere, this really came out of nowhere, guys. Adrian Peterson says that he has family members who are gay, whom he loves and respect. But on gay marriage, the Minnesota Vikings running back says, quote, "That's not something I believe in." Peterson says he considers he has a good friend who is gay. And he says, quote, "I have relatives who are gay. I'm not biased towards them. I still treat them the same. I love them. But again, I'm not with that. That's something I believe in. But to each his own," end quote. So gay marriage in the state that that AP lives in Minnesota, gay marriage will become legal on August 1st. So I believe he just asked a question, just really came out of nowhere with that comment, but really interesting. But Robbie Rogers, the guy for the LA Galaxy soccer player, he really came out after he saw Jason Collins open up about his sexual preference and really felt that he was just living in a closet and he needs to do so. So broke some new ground there. Also on this weekend, Brittany Griner and Alina Deledon. That's right, they made their debut yesterday. Deledon kind of outshined Brittany Griner, though. She scored 22 points, boosting the Sky to a 102-80 rout of the Phoenix Mercury. Now, Brittany Griner did sit early. She got into foul trouble early, picked up three quick fouls, but she gave the crowd what they wanted to see. That's right. She had two dunks. One was a nice little one-handed put-in. I saw it and watched that game for a little bit. Then she had one that was just a two-hander monster jam, hung on the rim a little bit. Really exciting to see. Now, that's just those pair of fourth-period dunks, and it came in the fourth quarter, just the seventh and eighth dunks in the history of the WNBA. So really exciting to see that. Really two individuals. Now, it's the big three in general. I mean, when you look at Brittany Griner, Alina Deledon, and Skylar Diggins, they're really bringing some life back to the WNBA. Really fun to watch, especially when you got Brittany Griner slamming out. So, all right, ladies and gents, well, we have to move on to our last segment of Current Sports. We're going to take your calls about any of the topics discussed today. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Or hit me up on Facebook.com/Current Sports. Tweet me a question, Al Martin, WKR. We want to hear from you. Stick around. More Current Sports is next.
Who dares enter the funhouse of fear? Stephen King. His new novel, Joyland, is set in an amusement park. As a teaser for the book says, beyond the lights, there is only darkness.
Read the line again.
You like it that much? You want to hear it again?
Can I write or what? God. Just kidding.
Stephen King on the next Fresh Air.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm Al Martin. It's that time where we hear from you. That's right. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. And while we're doing that, I'm joined by my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky. It's Top 5 Tuesdays, baby. That's right. And because this week we are focusing on injuries in sports, guess what? We're going to list our top 5 most impactful and gruesome, yeah, gruesome injuries of all time. Thank goodness this is radio, so you guys don't have to watch any of these. Just listen. Guys, welcome. What's up? You guys have a good Memorial Day weekend?
Oh, yeah, it was great, other than looking at all these clips and, you know, trying to keep my stomach from turning.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Easier said than done.
So, guys, we'll start with you guys. Top five most impactful slash gruesome injuries of all time. Matt, take it away, man.
All right. Well, I think... there's a few things that lead to a gruesome injury for me. Bone through the skin, that's a guarantee. You know, we'll get to what is number one. It involves a hockey skate and the worst thing you could possibly think of happening with a hockey skate. And then the other thing for me, at least, is an accordion leg, or you know, where something that an appendage bends in a way that it's not supposed to and yeah. Clearly is painful. But number five, kick things off in baseball. Mike Cameron and Carlos Beltran back in 2005 for the Mets. Fly ball to right field. They end up chasing it down and colliding, both diving for the ball. Cameron broke his jaw.
Ooh.
Both cheekbones had a slight concussion, which I'm sure in these days would be upgraded to like a severe concussion because yeah. We know a lot more about those now. That's number five. We don't have a clip, thank goodness, because it's pretty gruesome. Number four, switching over to the NBA, and this is more of kind of a career cut short by injury, Sean Livingston. He's still in the league, plays for the Cavs, but he was at one point a very high prospect, a long, lanky point guard. He could have gone to Duke, went straight to the pros instead, played for the Clippers for a few years, and it's an 8-second clip where, you know, his career basically changes drastically. Gets a steal, goes for a layup dunk, lands awkwardly, tears pretty much every ligament he had in his leg, now he's still kind of a shell of his former self. So Sean Livingston, number four. Number three, I think everybody remembers 2003 Fiesta Bowl, Miami, Ohio State. One of the premier players in that game, Willis McGahee, takes a hit to the knee, tears his ACL, top five draft pick for sure.
I remember that one.
Falls down to the late 20s to the Bills. Still has had a serviceable NFL career, so if anybody's, you know, rehabbing a knee, it can be done and you can still achieve great things. So there's Willis at number three. Number two, Kevin Ware. I don't even know if I need to bring it up, just for the stage. Mm. Duke,
yeah,
Louisville.
Yeah.
Terrible. Let's not revisit it. Yeah. And number one, speaking of hockey skates and terrible injuries, Richard Zednik in 2008. We actually have a clip of this one. Aaron, go right ahead.
There's a hit by Jokinen on MacArthur. Oh, boy, Zednik. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God, he's bleeding bad.
Richard Zednik is cut wide open.
Quick.
Oh, my God. Oh, folks, this is ugly. Richard Zednik is cut wide open.
You know what?
It's his neck. What?
Quickly he went, didn't seem to panic, went right to the dressing room.
And I think the big thing about that, and that clip doesn't tell you much, and I think you kind of have to commend the announcers there. That's Steve Goldstein and Dennis Potvin down for Fox Sports Florida a few years ago. Richard Zednik, Olli Jokinen, his teammate, was upended in front of him. Skate catches him in the neck. And for as much as was going on and for how terrible it looked, they actually kept their cool, which I think
they
if I was, you know, firsthand witness to that, I would be, you know, dropping words on the air that I shouldn't be, and, you know, unable to kind of censor myself. So hats off to those announcers for keeping their cool.
And it's so crazy whenever you see an injury like that. I mean, a skate to the neck. I mean, that's life-threatening,
like,
man.
Yeah, death is very much, you know, in the cards at that point. Like, it could go south. But
that's tough,
luckily,
man.
For Zednik, he was all right, came back to play. Later that year, not that game, don't worry.
Right.
But yeah, you know, he played on, so it wasn't a career ender for Zednik.
Wow. Oh, so Matt goes the more gruesome route.
I go gruesome.
Yeah,
he goes
gruesome. All right, Alex, what's up, man?
All right, I think any injury you're going to go at is gruesome, but actually back to Matt's, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Cameron injury, he also broke his nose. On that,
it's possible. You know, maybe they just didn't want to lump it in on his laundry list of facial injuries.
Yeah,
that
Cameron clip was just bad. It literally is just like walking into a street pole and just basically the impact and collision of the pole just flinging right back. That was really visualizing. If you can't really get a good visualization of that injury, if you're listening, that's kind of what it's like.
But, YouTube at your own risk.
Yeah, that's right. For me, a little gruesome too, but not as gruesome. Number five. I actually picked my number five choice. It's just a great hit. If you guys remember, it was the Saints versus the Eagles, and Reggie Bush got a side screen to the right side of the field, and Sheldon Brown comes up, one of the defensive backs for Philadelphia, and just levels Reggie Bush. And the part that just did it for me was after any hit, sometimes you're just laying down, you can't move. But after this hit, Reggie Bush gets up, gets back down on the ground and just starts crawling for 5 to 10 seconds, just crawling on the field. So, I mean, I've never seen anything like that. Have you guys?
No, I do remember that one. That was stunning. I do remember that. That was a huge, huge hit, man.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Hopefully that doesn't happen to him in Detroit. Please.
That's
please,
right.
No, we don't need that.
Absolutely. And then number four, the Kevin Weir injury. Very hard to forget that one. Number three, actually, this was actually an interesting story. It was Adam Greenberg who took a pitch in the head and actually got a concussion. That was a pretty gruesome hit. Of course, like Al said, enter at YouTube at your own risk.
Yeah.
And then number two, if you guys remember years back, I'm actually kind of keeping this Detroit theme, but Todd Bertuzzi came up from behind and just struck Steve Moore, center for the Avalanche, and Aaron's got a clip of this one.
The Vancouver Canucks vowed they were going to get more. They have gotten them. Legally, what comes into play now? When you say you're going to get someone and someone is injured this way, what ramifications do you have?
Well, the doctor is out.
I mean, you cannot grab a man from behind and just shatter him like that.
And Crawford's laughing about it. He's got a smirk on his face. It's unbelievable. As you said, you're opening up a big can of worms.
I'll tell you,
folks.
Because they promised they'd get him. Now watch it. Suckers him from behind and drives his head into the ice.
And that's the thing, is that there was a call out even before the hit. They were like, you know, we're going after Steve Moore. It's a threat, right? I mean,
dirty.
What do you think about threats, man?
Dirty, man.
He was a marked man.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I don't like seeing in sports. But that's tough. And you got injured badly on the play, too. I mean, there's a line. There's a fine line.
You could even play hockey again. That was the worst part.
Yeah. Unbelievable, man.
And then, of course, number one, similar off the Zednik ordeal, here's another hockey injury that was just so gruesome to watch.
Comes back to the line. Kept it by Krug. Now recovered by Vauder. Gets it back over the line. Here's the pass. On into the Buffalo zone. Mahar goes to the corner of the pass. And, oh, wow.
That'll watch Malarchuk. That's the story right now with Red. Oh, boy. Take the... Man. That is the...
Oh, God.
Oh, please take the camera off and don't even bring it over there. Please.
Oh, my God.
Just keep it away.
Oh, terrible.
Oh, my God. What happened?
You're watching Sabres Hockey on the Niagara Volunteers Sports Network. Oh.
So, building off of what Matt said, he said, if I saw some of these injuries, I would not know what to say. And just like the Milarchuk injury that you just heard, the announcers were just speechless. Can you guys, man, and if you're listening, can you just imagine if you are watching that Milarchuk injury and it's the first time that you've ever seen a throat slit, ever?
Well, you know, and a quick note on that one, you know, 11 people in the crowd fainted, 2 fans had heart attacks, and 3 players puked on the ice. So if you have an injury that has that kind of, you know, wake of just like destruction from, you know, just one singular event, you know, you don't think you're going to see that at a hockey
you
game.
You said two people had heart attacks?
According to the internet, but, you know.
That's, oh, my, yeah, okay.
And the other thing is,
it might have, you know, come about it in the legend of the injury now that, you know, now, right. You know, now it's going to be seven heart attacks and, you know, before, yeah, before too
still.
Long. Yeah, still. Hey. If it's threatening the you know, safety of the crowd, God.
It's definitely a tough day to be an announcer, you know, seeing that stuff too, man. And I think just looking at all these injuries, the announcers have done a remarkable job at kind of just capturing the moment, but at the same time, because making you feel that, you know, this is bad, you know, especially people who listen on the radio. So they do a good job of capturing that moment. But, man, that's tough to do.
Yeah.
That's tough to do,
you
man.
Took the words right out of my mouth. And it was great that they said, take the cameras off.
Yeah.
You don't want to see this.
You get the message.
Right.
Without a doubt. All right, great, great stuff, guys.
Now
all right.
For you, Al, let's
so
see
me,
it.
I'm going more impactful. I'm not the whole gruesome guy. Of course, we got Kevin Ware. I'm going to start five up. All right, first of all, I have to say, Adrian Peterson is really defining how you come back. I mean, just the how you can come back from an ACL injury. I mean, he tore his ACL and his MCL at the same time. I mean, and he came back like that. And such an inspirational dude, really kind of going back to what Arthur Ray, who we just had on the show today, and just having that mindset of just, I can beat this, and staying positive throughout something like that could be a career ender. You got to hear this clip right here from him.
Things that I had to do, whether it was different exercises for strengthening my leg that was painful, that I just didn't want to endure at the time, you know, but, you know, you have those thoughts that go through your head. You got, you know, you got the devil, he's out, he got those darts. So you can choose to bite on those, or you can choose to block them out. Just listen to the thoughts with God, that God are putting in there. But without him doing this recovery, I had no chance, you know, at all. No chance to do this on my own.
Wow. Now that's inspirational, guys. And it's all about that mindset, people. If you're going through an injury right now and sitting back listening, you got to have the right mindset, man. Pick yourself up, guys. All right, that's five from me. Four, I should say. Bo Jackson, arguably the greatest athlete of all time, in my opinion. Really, that hip injury, a freakish accident, too. A lot of weight. He had that hip injury, and back in 1991, just really slowed him down. But the man played 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 4. I mean, he was unbelievable. Unbelievable, man. But it just makes me wonder, if he didn't have that hip injury, I mean, how good he could have been. I mean, he was good without the hip injury, before the injury. So,
I mean, how many additional years of Tech Mobile dominance could Bo Jackson have achieved had he stayed healthy?
Yeah.
I mean, he's still the greatest video game football player ever, but
ever.
That would have, you know, icing on the cake. Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. So that Bo Jackson injury was very impactful from that state of mind. Then I have to go with Joe Theismann, of course. Lawrence Taylor hitting Theismann of the Redskins versus Giants. I mean, that was just a gruesome injury. A lot of people compare that to the Kevin Ware injury. Sam Bowie, second pick in the 1984 NBA draft, drafted number two, as I just said, and he was drafted above Michael Jordan. And, you know, he's somebody who had a lot of hype, who actually got injured in college and still became the number two pick. Just listen to the announcement over Michael Jordan, guys.
Portland selects Sam Bowie, University of Kentucky. Sam Bowie, the young man who came back from a stress fracture injury, the left shin bone. He was out for two seasons, redshirted, and he has come back. He has returned strong with Kentucky, and he's now the second pick in the draft. Though, I think we got an indication that Bowie was definitely going to Portland when he came in here carrying a Portland Trailblazer jacket.
Yeah, he was something else. Sam Bowie, a lot of hype around him. As I said, he was drafted above Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Unbelievable, man. But he ended up getting injured and, you know, shattered his knee, and that was it for Sam Bowie. But, and number one, of course, the Kevin Ware injury. That was one of those injuries as well that, I mean, the players just stopped play, guys collapsing on the ground, players crying. That watching that live was something else, guys. I don't think I've ever witnessed anything like that in my life. But, yeah, so that rounds up my top five. So, guys, before we leave, thanks, guys. Thanks, Matt and Alice, for joining me on every Tuesday. I love it, man. Love it. Tomorrow we'll debate Barbershop Wednesday,
hey,
right?
It's a pleasure beating you with picks as well.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that. We'll have picks tomorrow, who fared best last week. But before we leave, I want to give a special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke, of course, our production assistants. My intern, Mike Corey, along with my engineer, Aaron Young. Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to former Spartan football player and cancer survivor Arthur Ray Jr. for coming on the show as our guest. Thanks for tuning in, folks, and have a fantastic day tomorrow. Later on today, excuse me. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing, WKAR FM HD3, East Lansing.